The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Good to be with you on this this Tuesday, January. I was going to say June, January the 19th. We're one day away from the inauguration, the fake inauguration. We'll see what happens over the course of today, and of course, tomorrow, those of you watching at thetrumpet.com/live, you'll notice there's some additional features that we've added there. Again, I don't think it's ever going to be quite as convenient as the YouTube channel, and we have had a few people write in that have been quite disappointed, given that they were in the routine of watching YouTube at whatever time of the day was convenient for them. But we're hoping that we can add more of those conveniences to the live feed at thetrumpet.com website. I might also mention, I just tweeted about the stream that we're able to still play on Twitter. So if you look to Twitter for the live stream of this program, you also would have some of those playback, rewind, and such features for the program. So there still are ways to get this message, and of course that's the most important feature of all: the message, the content that we bring to you day in and day out. And hopefully, if YouTube doesn't cooperate, you'll find other ways to get to the material. Yesterday, we didn't have the video available for playback on the website, but we did refer you to the audio file, which, again, was a bit of a disappointment for some people. But it's nice to see that SoundCloud is still operational. So any way and every way that we can get the message out to you, we'll certainly do our part. Just a couple of comments here from our viewers. It says, thank you. You and thetrumpet.com for all the work, getting the work out to the largest audience possible. We're praying for God to put his end time ark on display for all to see. We're waiting for God to part this Red Sea for his people. This miracle is sure, and we are excited. And then another one commenting on the YouTube ban for the next 7 days. It says, so let's get this straight. BLM has a platform still on YouTube after burning down cities, and YouTube goes after churches. How about that? YouTube goes after churches instead. Where's the trail of violence that churches have left behind? Wow, they are totally running off the deep end. Going after, it says a lot. What channels are still available? What channels have uninterrupted access to millions of people? And what channels are being censored? What channels are being blotted out? I was reading Carolyn Glick yesterday. I think it was actually an article from January the 15th. But she actually used that exact term, blot out. Here's another instance where the incoming Biden administration, as she put it, wants to blot out what happened before. This is always the devil's objective. He wants to blot out the truth. He wants to blot out the work of God. He wants to blot out God's church. He wants to blot out the nations of Israel. And God's not going to let him do that. Speaking of YouTube, listen to Rudy Giuliani. I guess he had a podcast recently where he wasn't even talking about election fraud. He was just talking about, you know, the big tech's effort to censor voices. And guess what happened to his podcast? It got censored. Here's Rudy Giuliani, clip 5.
YouTube actually took down a podcast in which I talked about censorship, not even about the election. You can't even complain about their censorship. YouTube took me off for complaining about censorship, not the election. Should I say the election is stolen? Man, I think pretty soon there'll be capital punishment for that.
There's Rudy Giuliani, the president's attorney, saying, look at the direction we're heading in. He's exaggerating there at the end for effect. Well, I don't know. Is he? You look at the communist regimes in history. Where is this leading? This kind of censorship coming from these authoritarians in Silicon Valley. What power they have at their disposal. And believe me, they want to take it further than just media or what's allowed to be on these platforms. Listen to, this is from, I believe, Friday night, Katie Couric. She's the journalist that used to host the NBC Today show. And she's talking with Bill Maher about what needs to be done with senators and congressmen in Congress. This is Katie Couric, clip 3.
It's really bizarre, isn't it, when you think about how AWOL so many of these members of Congress have gotten. But I also think some of them are believing the garbage that they are being fed 24/7 on the internet by their constituents, and they bought into this big lie. And the question is, how are we going to really almost deprogram these people who have signed up for the cult of Trump?
It's a religious cult. The 75 million, half of America in a cult. That's the way they see it. And they need to be deprogrammed. Not just your ordinary deplorable out in eastern Kentucky. The senators and congressmen in Washington, our elected officials, the ones who got elected by Trump supporters, they need to be deprogrammed. One last comment here from a viewer. It says, thank you, Trumpa Daily. Such a blessing to have this news. God is for us, so no one on this earth can be against us. Have a blessed day. Yes, God is for us. He leads us to victory. We have God on our side. We know, though, that at some point, just prior to the Great Tribulation, God's people have to flee for their safety. And a famine of God's word sets in. That's Amos 8, verse 11. So there are some dire prophecies unfolding before us. So many prophecies have been fulfilled. Quite a few others are about to be fulfilled. But God will finish his work. There's only a short time to do this. And believe me, if you can't look at the world today and have a sense of urgency, then something's wrong with you. We've been going through the book of Amos. And Amos chapter 6, you can read through those verses. We didn't quite get to that yesterday. But God says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Woe unto them that are becoming spiritually complacent. Spiritually lethargic. We can't afford to let that happen in our individual lives, with our families, our children. No one. God wants us to be on fire for this work. And if you lack that fire, do what Jeremiah did in Jeremiah 20. Feed on the words of God, the precious prophecies of God, the sure word of Bible prophecy. And know that prophecy in Amos 7, the land can't bear the words. That hasn't yet happened. We're certainly on the outer edges of it, where they just can't stand the truth. But there comes a point with that Amos 7 confrontation where God's people are told to leave, basically. They have the truth, and the land, the entire nation, can't bear it. We're not quite there yet, but we're certainly moving in that direction. If you look at these are supposed to be the last couple of days of the Trump administration, and he's taken some. You hear, of course, all the news about the coming pardons and commutations. And other things that he's doing, I suppose, who he assigned over at, I think it was the DHS. We'll come to the news items here in just a bit. But he's also done some things here in these last couple of days that are quite unusual for an outgoing president, and particularly one that has such an axe to grind. This is an executive order that he signed, I think, yesterday to build this National Garden of American Heroes. Here he is, and then yesterday too, and I'll come to this later as well. He released his 1776 report, So he announces that there's this garden for American heroes. I think something like 200 statues. People are tearing down statues, this anti-American movement. And here is an administration that even on his supposedly final days, he's signing these executive actions to build this national garden of American heroes. And then he comes out with the 1776 report. And it's interesting what James Dellingpole said about this report. He now operates under the Twitter handle President-elect James Dellingpole. And he said yesterday, the Trump administration's 1776 report is a masterpiece of dignity, scholarship, affirmation of American values. It does not strike me as the work of people who are planning to leave anytime soon. That's James Dellingpole. It's not the kind of thing you would expect from someone who's supposed to be bitter. He's supposed to be bitter and angry. He's supposed to be upset about the voter fraud, and he's carrying on with this big lie, as Jim Acosta has said. And yet here he is, releasing the 1776 report. Dellingpole says the report makes me ashamed of what has happened to my own country. He comes from Britain. And we've just abandoned our history and our foundational documents. The law of the land, the supreme law of the land. Here's an administration. He's supposed to be in his last couple of days. And look at some of the projects that he's signing off on. The National Garden of American Heroes and the 1776 report. I'll come to that in a bit, probably push it back to the second segment. Richard's pulled together some material from even from our literature about, well, also from this report and the news about this National Garden. But as Richard was saying this morning, It reminds him of that section in the Chronicles booklet about the positive view of history and how important it is for us to be positive, particularly in dark times. You look around and there's so much darkness. I'll come to some of the news items here in just a bit. But I have to begin, if you call this a beginning, I guess we're 12, 13 minutes in already. I have to begin with this gem from the New York Times, our friends at the New York Times, about the recent election in Uganda. You remember the story from a week or two ago, the Ugandan, I believe it's a president. The president said that he's going to shut out these social media companies because they tamper with the election process in Uganda. And of course, Facebook, without any sense of self-awareness, Facebook and Twitter, they immediately react with disdain and contempt. Who are you to shut down our social media companies? So social media gets shut out. This president that's been, you know, leading Uganda for 35 years, he gets reelected. There's all these outside observers that are saying it was rigged. There was foul play. But listen to this from the New York Times. It says, President Museveni faced his strongest challenge yet from Bobby Wine, a rapper turned lawmaker. It says, on one side was a 76-year-old grandfather in a sunny yellow shirt and hat who has held on to power in Uganda for 35 years by doling out patronage to preserve loyalty while deploying his security forces to intimidate critics and to muzzle the media. So here is a ruling class that would dare muzzle the media. How dare he? How dare he shut out social media? It says here, in the end, after a bitter and bloody campaign marked by a lethal crackdown on the opposition, an internet blackout, and accusations of vote tampering and rigging, the president, Museveni of Uganda, was declared victor of a sixth five-term year in office. His rival, Bobby Wine, says the election was unfair, a contention backed by independent international observers. So even international observers say that there was vote rigging. And the New York Times happens to agree with them. And my response to that would be, where's the evidence? Where is the evidence of vote rigging? And if there's no evidence, why are you not being censored with this kind of article? Why is this not being censored by the American propaganda media? After all, if there's vote rigging, if there's charges of vote rigging, there needs to be evidence. And we now know there needs to be piles and piles and piles of it. Because they're not just going to take affidavits. They're not just going to take video of people actually tampering with ballot boxes. It's got to be much more. Sworn statements, affidavits, not enough. Not enough. What a wild accusation. Voter fraud in Uganda. How dare the New York Times, how dare they accuse this government of voter fraud? Listen to this next paragraph. I mean, this is fabulously rich coming from the New York Times. It says, for the world, Uganda's election was a vivid demonstration of how autocrats use elections to cement their hold on power. Local and foreign election observers questioned the validity and the transparency of this week's vote after they were prevented from monitoring it. Well, they wouldn't let in the poll watchers. Why wouldn't they do that in Uganda? This is like third world stuff. The New York Times can't believe it. It says the United States mission in Uganda said 75% of its accreditation requests had been denied, pushing it to cancel its observation of the vote. They wouldn't allow poll watchers to come in and observe. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar, Pennsylvania? Georgia? Michigan? Wisconsin? Arizona? Uganda? It's the same story. This was Jim Acosta yesterday on CNN talking about Donald Trump's delusion. Clip one.
And even after the events of the last 2 weeks, Trump is leaving office, still lying to himself and others that the election was stolen from him. A White House advisor said aides to the president have explained to him on numerous occasions that there is no evidence that he was cheated out of a second term. As this advisor put it, he still thinks it was stolen and he won. Wolf, what a disgraceful way to go out. The president still suffering from these delusions when the fact of the matter is, if you look at the polls, the American people just want him to go.
Well, forget about the polls. That's not true what he said there at the end. But the New York Times thinks that the election in Uganda was stolen. So who's right? Who's right? It can't happen in America. Thousands of affidavits, video evidence, all of these people, sworn testimony. It can't happen in Georgia or Pennsylvania. It did happen. It did happen. And those people, the reporters you heard right there, they're the ones who are lying. If it happens, this New York Times piece is quite revealing, because if it happens in any other nation besides the United States, if it's any other nation, it's so obvious. It's so obvious there was cheating. But in the United States, well, it's just democracy in action. Fake votes, dead people voting, people who don't have a valid address voting, people in nursing homes where they've manufactured these votes, voter harvesting, all of that. I mean, Stacey Abrams tells us that's just democracy in action. We've got to get out the vote. We've got to print off millions and millions and millions and millions of ballots, have them floating all around, and then just fill them in. If you need them at the last minute, just fill them in. And here's Jim Acosta preaching. How dare the president of the United States think that this was stolen from him? You put the same situation in Uganda, which is evidently what's happening. I don't know all the history. I don't know enough about Uganda politics. I suspect there probably was cheating. But where was the New York Times on November 4th and fifth and sixth and seventh. On the seventh, they anointed Joe Biden as president-elect. They couldn't even pause for a few days to see about the evidence. They just said, from day one to January 19th, there's no evidence of voter fraud. And I don't know when the election in Uganda was, but here's the New York Times piece, and it's already, it's in the headline, vote rigging. It's in the headline. How does the New York Times know? Have they done an investigation? Have they looked at the affidavits? Have they looked at any video evidence from Uganda? No, they just see from, they go by what these international poll watchers have to say that, hey, we got shut out. We couldn't even observe the process. And so what does the New York Times conclude? Well, there's obviously cheating then. If they won't let observers come in, there was cheating. That's exactly what happened in Pennsylvania and elsewhere. In Georgia, they were shooed out. All right, we've got the water main break. Actually, just a urinal leaking. It's a water main break, and all of the poll watchers have to go. Everyone leaves, and then four or five counters, they pull out the ballot boxes from under the table, and they start counting away multiple times on video. On video. Wow. It says a report seen by the New York Times, which had input from 2,000 observers with the African Elections Watch Coalition, deployed in 146 districts nationwide, documented late openings in most polling stations, incidents of illegal open ballot boxes, and the arrests of 26 members of civil society groups who were observing the election. So the police were actually, arresting the poll watchers. In the case of Pennsylvania, what were they doing? They were pushing the poll watchers out, tampering with ballot boxes, an authoritarian crackdown on poll watchers. Does any of this sound familiar? Here's the New York Times reporting on, they've seen the report. A report seen by the New York Times. And from that report, they have concluded there was cheating. They have concluded that the system was rigged in the favor of the president of Uganda. So, in this case, you muzzle the media, you tamper with votes, you're not transparent. There's some serious fraud going on. In the case of the United States of America, the New York Times' own country, its country of origin, it's where it's established as an American media company. You have before and now after the election, media voices blacklisted. The New York Post before and afterwards, all of this big tech censorship, that's fine. That's fine. It needs to be done. It needs to be done. I mean, they've got to be, the ones in Congress have to be deprogrammed. You've got people, officials like Gabriel Sterling saying, hey, the election officials have looked into these charges of voter irregularities. We've seen that there's nothing there. There's no problem there. Everything's just fine. You had cardboard boxes used to cover windows in Detroit, I think it was, so that you couldn't even see inside these counting centers. And then, of course, all of these mysterious boxes of ballots that showed up in the dark of night. And all of this, democracy in action. Democracy in action. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the Democrat Party and how edgy they seem to be. There's some people in the Democrat Party. There's some people over in China that are just hoping that we can make it through to noon tomorrow without incident and that we can get China's man in there. But you look, as I said yesterday, at all of these strange and unusual events going on, even in Washington, D.C., lots to keep our eyes on. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet daily radio show. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can email us at td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Do you believe the United States of America has been mainly a positive force in the world for most of its history? Do you believe that America was at one time a great nation? The United States of America was founded on many biblical principles that were incorporated into the Constitution. This lent to its success and positive influence in the world. But the America of then is not the America of today. To anyone examining the current state of America, this should be alarming. It has been a great nation in time past and is experiencing a temporary resurgence in these end times, but it will only be exactly that, temporary. Our free booklet, Great Again, will explain America's status. It will prove that God has been intimately involved in the rise and resurgence of America under President Donald Trump. It will also explain why God is saving America temporarily, how he was doing it, and what is yet to come in America. There is a spiritual dimension to America's rise and decline as a superpower. This free booklet will explain this dimension and how God will soon make America truly great again. Request your free copy of our book, Great Again, at our website, thetrumpet.com.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
I just tried the playback feature on thetrumpet.com /live, the live stream, that, and it looks like we've got an audience size comparable to what we were getting on YouTube last week. So that's great. We've made the switch. Our audience has switched over to the trumpet.com stream. And as you can see there with the new playback features, just like with YouTube, if you came onto the program 10, 15 minutes late, you can rewind it and start it over just like you're watching it live. So we really do appreciate Patrick and the other guys in the IT department working hard these last few weeks to prepare for this transition, to prepare for YouTube censorship. It's happening with a lot of programs out there today. Tomorrow is the scheduled inauguration, and as I said before the break, there's quite a few Democrats that don't seem especially confident right now in the Joe Bama administration. There was a dumpster fire yesterday about a mile away from Capitol Hill. And this came, I think, just out of a homeless shelter. So there was a fire that went up. You might have seen the footage. There was some smoke billowing up behind Capitol Hill, and that caused quite a stir. What is happening? Maybe D.C. is under attack. Now they've got 25,000 troops set up there and fences all over the place. The Democrats, all of a sudden, they love border security and walls. They love walls and fences. They're everywhere in Washington, D.C. As I said yesterday, it's an armed camp. And they're on edge. Another rehearsal for the inauguration. It had to be canceled. Well, there's a fire at a homeless shelter. So it all has to be shut down. It's not safe. It's not safe with 25,000 troops in the nation's capital. And then you had some of the Democrats on TV calling into question the loyalty of these troops. Well, what if some of these troops take out Vice President-elect or President-elect Biden? What if they assassinate him? What if, as Congressman Steve Cohen said, what if some of these National Guardsmen on duty, what if they didn't vote for Biden? What if they voted for Trump? Listen to this exchange. This is Congressman Cohen with CNN's Jim Sciutto, clip 4.
We now have the remarkable step in this country of the U.S. military running background checks on its own people like it might do in a foreign country with partner forces to see if there are any sympathizers. Based on what you've seen, what is your level of concern of an insider threat?
Well, it certainly raised this morning. I was reading about this on the on my Twitter account, I guess, and people were reminding people of Anwar Sadat and Indira Gandhi, who were killed by their own people. You know, I was thinking the guard is 90-some-odd percent, I believe, male. Only about 20% of white males voted for Biden. You got to figure that in the guard, which is predominantly more conservative, and I see that on my social media, and we know it, they're probably not more than 25% of the people that are there protecting us who voted for Biden. The other 75% are in the class that would be the large class of folks who might want to do something.
75, he talks about Anwar Sadat being assassinated by the military. And then he says there's 75% of these people on National Guard on duty in D.C. that they might want to do something. It's just that ordinary programming for CNN. Jim Sciutto there nodding his head. Jim Sciutto of the Steele dossier fame. He's there nodding along. Yeah, this is a security risk. Now the military, you see, they're going to take Biden out. They've been attacking the military for years. They've been attacking the Trump administration. They've been openly talking about Trump's assassination, hoping for it. And now here they are. You can't trust the National Guard. Politics, you see, it factors into everything. Who do they vote for? Because if they voted for Trump, they were part of the insurrection. Cohen went on to say there, look, some of these people, I know people in the military and people in law enforcement that were part of the insurrection on January the 6th. Part of the insurrection, the attack. I saw a tweet yesterday. What looks more like a coup? These yahoos that went through the rotunda of the Capitol building waving the U.S. flag, or all of these fences and these armed guards all over Washington, D.C.? Picture, as they say, is worth a thousand words. President Trump, I don't know if this was yesterday or the day before, but he's assigned Michael Ellis to be the NSA general counsel. So he's going to be overseeing the transmission of some of this classified information that's supposed to come out today. I guess we heard it was supposed to be yesterday, but from what John Solomon said last night, it's already been declassified and they're supposed to roll it out under the direction of Michael Ellis. And Democrats are just furious with this appointment, even though Joe Biden can technically fire him and probably will fire him if he were to become president. Within 36 hours, 24 to 36 hours. Still, though, they're up in arms. MSNBC, this former FBI agent, Figliuzzi, he said that Trump is installing Ellis so that he can assume a deep state posture. So now it's President Trump who's deep state. Now it's these radical Democrats who have all of these allies all across society, all around Washington, D.C. Now, evidently, it's Donald Trump spreading his tentacles throughout the nation's capital. Nancy Pelosi, she tweeted this, the attempt to install an unqualified Trump loyalist. See, that's why they have a problem with this, because he's a Trump supporter. He's loyal to the president of the United States. Imagine that. The installation of this Trump loyalist as NSA general counsel just 72 hours prior to the start of a new administration is highly irregular, says Pelosi, and highly suspect. This placement should not move forward. Pelosi wrote a letter to the acting DOD secretary saying, how did this happen? Why is this being allowed? Well, the reason they're so upset is that Ellis, he was an integral piece of Devin Nunes's investigation of Spygate going back to 2017 and 18. Ellis was a lawyer then working for Trump's National Security Council. And so he was helping along with this other guy, Ezra Cohen Watnick. And these radical leftists, they don't want a Trump loyalist anywhere in government. They've got to be a rhino Republican. They've got to be someone who will stab the president in the back. or it enrages them. This exchange that Nancy Pelosi had, this was on Hillary Clinton's podcast. I guess everybody has a podcast now. But here's Hillary Clinton, who lost in 2016. She's talking with Nancy Pelosi about how that, if you can believe it, how that Donald Trump needs to be investigated for his ties to Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. We still haven't let that go. We've still, as if the Mueller investigation is not enough. Here is Hillary Clinton calling for a 9/11 style commission to investigate Donald Trump even after he's out of office. And Pelosi, for her part, she thinks this is great. That's a great idea. That's definitely something that should happen. Here's clip six.
Do you think we need a 9/11 type commission to investigate and report everything that they can pull together and explain what happened?
I do. Let me, again, to your point of who is he beholden to, as I've said over and over, as I said to him in that picture with my blue suit,
right,
as I was leaving, what I was saying to him as I was pointing rudely at him, with you, Mr. President, all roads lead to Putin. I don't know what Putin has on him politically, financially, or personally. But what happened last week was a gift to Putin, because Putin wants to undermine democracy in our country and throughout the world. And these people, unbeknownst to them maybe, are Putin puppets. They were doing Putin's business when they did that at the incitement of an insurrection by the President of the United States.
That's Nancy Pelosi speaking with Hillary Clinton about the insurrection, the coup attempt on Capitol Hill, January the 6th, and how that President Trump needs to be investigated for his ties to Russia. He's a Putin puppet, is President Trump. No mention, of course, of China, and President Trump has exposed a lot of their connections to the Chinese Communist Party. And they keep going on about Russia. Who's more powerful today, right at the moment? Russia or China? Who has more influence in the United States of America? Russia or China? Well, this gets right to the heart of why they hate Donald Trump, because he's not only exposed the communist infiltration coming from China, he's exposed them. And more exposure is coming, even today. Well, there's lots of evil, lots of negativity. As I said at the start, how unusual it is for this president, who is still fighting. He is still on the offensive. And yet, even as he fights in this political war that he's in, he's also releasing these executive orders celebrating America's history. Melanie Phillips had a great article the other day, and I think she's maybe putting a little too much faith in the modern version of the British throne. But she's talking in this piece, it's later in my notes, maybe I'll go through it tomorrow, but she talks about the little nation of Israel in the Middle East and then the United States, and how that we don't have that strong tie to the monarchy, a constitutional monarchy. And she says, in the case of the United States, it's freedom, and it's the supreme law, the Constitution, that is supposed to hold us together. But Phillips says that, it needs to be more. And she's right. It she's talking about the throne of David, the old throne. But she's saying that you need the king, you need the monarch on the throne in addition to the Constitution. That's what keeps the country together. And as I say, I'm not sure I would say Britain, going back to what Dellingpole tweeted yesterday, I'm not sure I would say Britain is exactly together on everything right now. There's division in both Ephraim and Manasseh. But she's certainly right about the fact that Britain has, and this is more God's doing than it is an actual physical throne, but that British Empire, Great Britain, has been around for 1,000 years. Now it's a mere shell of what it once was today. but it has nevertheless been around for 1,000 years. That's history that ought to be celebrated. And here comes President Trump, even though America's history is much shorter, 250 years or so, but here comes President Trump celebrating the history of the United States. This garden, the National Garden of American Heroes, it's to contain 200 statues of America's biggest names, and some of the names on the list are somewhat humorous, but others are solid. Everybody would have their different opinion, I guess, on what should be there. But here's the executive order from the president. He said, across this nation, belief in the greatness and goodness of America has come under attack in recent months and years by a dangerous anti-American extremism that seeks to dismantle our country's history, institutions, and very identity. See, if this is coming out in an executive order the day before the inauguration, it makes you think. It's like Dellingpole said. I mean, what an odd strategy or project to come out with the day before you're supposed to leave. What was it he tweeted? He said, it does not strike me as the work of people who are planning to leave anytime soon. He may be onto something there. But coming back to this history, this positive view of history, and you can see that, as I said earlier, in the Chronicles booklet, here comes President Trump. Of course, people see this as his final week. He's just about done. The left has worked so hard to destroy his presidency, has been impeached twice. He's had the election stolen from him. He has every reason to be negative and bitter. And yet he releases this very positive, hope-filled project, talking about all these statues that are going to be built. And then his administration also publishes the 1776 report on the very same day. And meanwhile, you've got this radical movement that wants to shut down free speech, that wants to tear down statues, that wants to erase America's history. It's just all slavery the way they see it. They've rewritten it. They have a negative view of history, and it's not even a negative view. They lie about it. They revise it. And then it's negative on top of that. Notice what my father writes in the Chronicles booklet. He says, what makes Chronicles and this section on King David so unique is that Ezra gives such a positive history. Ezra left out almost all the problems the kings had. In some cases, if they themselves were a big problem, he just left the kings out. Now, there was that history was covered in the Book of Kings, so it's there. You know, we need to learn from the mistakes of those that went before us. They were flawed individuals, just like we are. But when Ezra came along with the Chronicles version, he decided to just, God inspired him, obviously. He just focused on the positive. He focused on the throne of David. He focused on the monarchy, their successes. My father says, Ezra wanted to get people's minds on a positive vision. They had just come back from captivity in Babylon, and it was a terrible time, much like the time we live in today. We're in a fierce warfare, and the church has been devastated, just as Jerusalem and Judah had been. The mistakes those kings made were already canonized in Samuel and Kings. The people now needed a positive message, and Ezra almost completely overlooked those mistakes because he wanted to emphasize what Paul said in Philippians 4. Focus on the good and virtuous, and realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We need this positive view. It says here, we need to know about the problems and difficulties, but we need our emphasis right here on the positive. We need the emphasis on the positive. here's President Trump over the last couple of days putting an obvious emphasis on the positive. America's history. So many great quotes. I'm not even going to have time to get to all of them in the executive order and in that 1776 report. But in the executive order, he said, "The chronicles of our history show that America is a land of heroes. It's a land of heroes." He said, "The National Garden will be built to reflect the awesome splendor of our country's timeless exceptionalism. It will be a place where citizens, young and old, can renew their vision of greatness and take up the challenge that I gave every American in my first address to Congress, to believe in yourselves, believe in your future, and believe once more in America." It's a positive message coming out of the White House yesterday. He talks about this movement to recklessly erase our heroes, destroying the statues and such. And then in the 1776 report, again, he gives this similarly positive view of American history. The report opens by saying, "Today, Americans are deeply divided about the meaning of their country, its history, and how it should be governed." But he goes on to say that, or the people that put this report together, they go on to say that, you know, we're divided about these things, but there are answers, there are solutions, and you can find them in our history. There are stubborn facts that are there that unite all of us, or should. It says here, the principles of the American founding can be learned by studying the abundant documents contained in the record. Read fully and carefully, they show how the American people have ever pursued freedom and justice, which are the political conditions for living well. To learn this history is to become a better person, a better citizen, and a better partner in the American experiment of self-government. Wow, I mean, you contrast this with the 1619 Project put out by the New York Times and that crackpot woman that just wants to change America's history and tell everyone in school and tell our children that it was all started as slavery, and that's what it's been ever since. It's never changed. America's sins, all the mistakes, all the problems, all the weaknesses, all the warts, that's what we got to focus on. Quite a contrast to the 1776 report, where it talks about how unique and special America is. Now, we take for granted many of these freedoms that we enjoy, but here we are reminded of them, and we're reminded of the sacrifices that went before us, that happened before us, so that we could even enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy, so that we could have these liberties. It takes us back to the very beginning of our founding, the Declaration, the Constitution, and the principles articulated in these documents that would solve the problems America is facing today if we upheld them as the supreme law of the land that the founders envisioned them to be. It says here, "The founders of the United States perhaps miraculously achieved what they set out to achieve. They defeated the world's strongest military and financial power and won their independence. They then faced the task of forming a country that would honor and implement the principles upon which they had declared their independence." So then there's a section on the rule of law, and it says, finally, "The bedrock upon which the American political system is built is the rule of law. The vast difference between tyranny and the rule of law is a central theme of political thinkers back to classical antiquity." The difference between tyranny and the rule of law. Now, that's something that ought to be talked about and debated on the news channels today. Today, they'll ignore this. They ignore everything that comes out of a Trump White House. But what a positive view of our own history and the lessons that we could draw from it if we just dig into it. I'm hoping to get into it myself. It's only, I think, a 40-page report, so you can probably get to it at the White House website. In any event, hopefully I can get through a chunk of it later on today. Well, that's all that we have time for. I've got to get out of here a little bit earlier because of the forum across the campus. But we thank you for switching over to the live stream at the trumpet.com website. A nice big audience like we've typically had on YouTube. So that's great to see. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, send comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.